This call is being recorded.
Good morning. This is John Richardson speaking with you from Toronto, Canada. Today is Thursday, May the 14th, 2020, and this is one of my ongoing series of podcasts for law school bound individuals who want to get into law school, take the LSAT, become lawyers. And I've noticed that people are basically LSAT obsessed, but there is a lot more to getting into law school than just the LSAT score. And joining me today to begin a discussion of the law school admissions process is Anne Levine, who is a California-based law school admission consultant who operates from lawschoolexpert.com, I believe. Anne, thanks so much for joining me, and how are you today?
Great. Thank you for having me.
Well, definitely a pleasure. I'm wondering if you could begin just, and you'll have a chance to do this at the end as well, just introduce yourself a bit and describe what you do, how you started doing it, and the role you can play in the law school admissions process.
Sure. Well, as a law school admission consultant, I work with people from all over the world who want to go to law school in the United States. So I help them through every aspect of that process, advising them through it. I started Law School Expert in 2004. Before that, I worked as director of admissions for two different law schools. Before that, I worked for another law school. And before that, I went to law school. So I've been in this industry for 20 something years, mostly helping people through the application process since starting Law School Expert. I am also the author of The Law School Admission Game, which is in its third edition, but the fourth edition will be coming out this summer, and that's available on Amazon and Spotify and everything else. So I also have a blog called the Law School Expert Blog that I've been keeping since 2006 at lawschoolexpert.com.
Oh my God, so you're living and breathing this stuff. Sounds like 24/7.
That's what I do.
You know, you're obviously providing a service where you're helping people, and I think that takes a special kind of person. But what is it that got you into this to begin with? I mean, not everybody who goes to law school starts a law school expert. Not every law school admissions officer decides to go further with it. What was it that got you into this?
I've always been very interested in higher education policy. Even while I was in law school, that was something I really focused on with issues on campus. And I went directly to work for law schools after graduating from law school. I think for me, I saw a lot of mistakes that people were making when I was reviewing applications for schools. And I had a little bit of a break in there. I had 2 years where I practiced law after being director of admissions at a law school. And then it kept coming back to me to really think about how I had this perspective where I had seen the process from the inside and could really help applicants navigate the process more effectively and tell their stories and put their attributes forward in a more powerful and impactful way to the schools. And so that was really how it all began.
Well, I think that, you know, most of what one learns in this is through actually being on the receiving end of the application. So that's really, really interesting. Now, before we get into how people can improve their applications, all the specific instances of this that you saw, let's go right back to the basics for a minute. And let's imagine that you met somebody not in the capacity of Anne Levine, law school admission consultant, but you just happened to meet somebody who said, you know, I think I want to go to law school. Let's say it's a senior year in high school.
High school?
Yeah, just started.
Okay.
From that point. I want to go to law school and become a lawyer. And they said, and somebody told me that, you know, you knew something about this stuff. What's some general advice you could give me starting from this point in my life?
Well, someone that young, I think, should keep all of their options open and not narrow on a career focus. But if someone really interested in exploring it, I would say the best thing they could do is really see what lawyers actually do and not just be making that determination off how it's portrayed in TV and movies. Really see what the life is like, how hard people work, you know, that it's not especially glamorous in most situations. And just talk to people in the profession. And also make sure that you legitimately use college to explore your interests so that you're not narrowing yourself so much at the beginning that you leave yourself with no other option but to pursue it, pursue law school. But really to, I mean, the great thing about law, the practice of law, is that it's an interdisciplinary field. So you have lawyers who are specialists who know tax law and are CPAs, and you have lawyers who know medicine and they work in MedMal or they work in work comp, or you have there's so many different things you could be interested in that could apply to law, whether that's entertainment law, international law, what have you. So it's really important to explore interests outside of just strictly law as well, to see what niche within law you could distinctively contribute to as an attorney.
Well, perhaps people are better off just exploring their interest and see where it takes them, because
that's what I think.
The personal view of this is that there's an aspect of law for any conceivable kind of interest. Would you agree with that?
I pretty much would. Yes. I'm not someone who thinks you should be narrowing what you want to do when you're in high school. That's antithetical to how I approach this.
Even in law school, would you recommend that somebody go to law school with a clear idea of what kind of law they want to practice or study?
It depends. You know, for some niches, for example, intellectual property law, yes, you would need to have the background in that field, in order to pass the patent bar. So in some very niche cases, yes. But for the most part, I think most people who say they're going to do a certain kind of law generally aren't that well researched in the area of law before they get to law school. Plus, the problem is if you cater a law school experience to a specific area of law and that area of law is not hiring when you get out, then you're kind of toast. So it is good to keep an open mind and explore various angles.
Well, I think it's also true that that not all law schools really do a great job at all areas of law as well. And I think that there's some that, at least in my experience, some have a greater emphasis in the public law area, for example, et cetera. But that's sort of down the road. But, you know, so somebody gets into law school, and we'll talk more about how to get in as we go through this, a series of podcasts here. But it does seem to me that all law students do have to come to law school with some basic skills that are just right across the board, largely academic. But would you agree with that?
Well, I think if we're being general, I think that writing is essential. That's the one across the board that is essential, is being able to express yourself in writing. It's how you'll be graded on your exams, and it's really what lawyers do. And then when you build off of that, there are a number of skills that you could have from life and other careers that are very applicable to law, whether it's a business sense, whether it's how to work with people and clients, relating to people, being empathetic to people, problem solving. I think there are a number of skills in that realm that are universally important to cultivate.
You know, I think that you're right on that. And one of the things that I sense just from, you know, reading comments on the Facebook group and that is that, you know, the students who are not just, who are applying to law school but haven't just finished their bachelor's degree or something are worried that, they've waited too long or their academic skills are diminished. But it seems to me that those people have developed certain life skills that are often extremely helpful for not only law school, but the legal profession. Do you think that's correct?
Yes. I mean, I think that employers value people who have work experience as well. So when you're in law school, you still have to go and interview for jobs to have during and after law school. And I think that having professional experience makes you a better bet for any law firm that would potentially hire you.
Let's go back to the, you identify writing as an important skill for law students. And I mean, I agree with you totally. Okay. But other than write papers and that sort of thing for your bachelor's degree, and I'm not sure I know the answer to this, but what advice would you give somebody for how to really focus in on those writing skills?
The thing that I think people are often confused about is they may have this impression that lawyers write in a very flowery way using really long words and fancy words. And that's just not the case. What lawyers really have to do is take complicated ideas and communicate them succinctly. And that is how lawyers write. And so that's how I coach people when they're writing their personal statements as well.
Well, so the taking the complicated ideas and expressing them succinctly, that sounds to me like Twitter in a tweet. you know, being able to take something down to that small number of characters.
That's only if people do it well.
Well, maybe
I wouldn't equate tweeting with what lawyers do.
Maybe they could aspire to do it well, because, you know, I mean, if you can't say something succinctly, you probably don't understand it as well as you should, right?
I think there's probably something to that.
So writing, obviously, very, very important. Now, this may be slightly outside of what you do, but since we've come this far in the conversation, do you have any thoughts on courses or things that people could do as undergraduates that might help them with their LSAT preparation without being formally involved in LSAT preparation?
Well, anything where you're reading dense material and synthesizing it would help you eventually on the LSAT. So whether that's philosophy or econ, you know, it doesn't matter, but reading dense material and being able to understand the essence of it would help you on the LSAT, but in law school as well. Reading comprehension is kind of what it's all about. But I would say, you know, sometimes people like to take logic courses or what have you. To me, I don't really think of there being, I would never want someone to put together a college curriculum to do well on the LSAT. That seems silly to me. A college curriculum is to expand your academic and intellectual abilities and to explore interests and learn things, not to have an end result on the LSAT. So in my head, I really keep the LSAT and curriculum choices in college very separate.
Well, I think they should be kept separate, but I think that, you know, where there's overlap, you know, perhaps that should be at least acknowledged. I think it might make a lot of courses a lot more interesting to a lot of people. You know, on the whole LSAT thing, do you have any thoughts on how early people should start their preparation, when they should take the LSAT, those sorts of things?
Well, yes, especially now, I mean, where so many law schools are also taking the GRE. I think with the LSAT, it's being given so frequently now, 10 times a year, that you can give yourself a ballpark and then have backup plans. So, for example, you might start studying in February, anticipating take the LSAT in June, but really push it off and not take it till July or August. And that's absolutely fine. I think everyone learns differently and at a different pace, especially depending on how people are balancing studying with their other obligations. So I think minimum 3 months of LSAT prep, but that's if you have like 15, 20 hours a week to do it. I would say for most people, it's more than that, but I think at some point, you've got to just take the LSAT. Like, I never recommend studying for a year before you take the LSAT for the first time. Like, that doesn't seem productive. But I would say...
Could I ask you to elaborate on that? I mean, I'm asking you to zero in, because I actually agree with you very much on that. But I'd like to hear your reasoning for that.
Well, you can take the LSAT three times in an admission cycle. And actually, right now, the LSAT Flex doesn't even count toward that. So you can take the LSAT more than that. So I find that the only reason people put off taking the LSAT after they have consistent practice test scores is if they're not happy with those scores, but then they usually also make the mistake of not doing anything about raising their scores. But also, it's just they feed this into this anxiety of, oh my God, taking the LSAT. But really, like, you can take the LSAT multiple times. Like, I think anxiety is such a driver for so many people, and it's just not a healthy driver in this example. And I think that at some point you have to just sit down and take the test and see how it goes and decide whether you're going to have to retake it. Being scared of the test is not a reason whether to take it or not at a certain time. Being ready for it is.
Yeah, I think that a mistake is to decide in advance that you're going to spend an ungodly long amount of time on LSAT preparation. I mean, you can always add to the time you spend preparing for the LSAT, but you can't really subtract once you've started. What about avoiding LSAT preparation during times of heavy academic commitments?
I think everyone's different, knows what they can handle. I think that it's generally good to schedule your LSAT time, your LSAT test for a time when you know you'll have a chance to study for it. And if life changes, then you change your plan. But I think the more important thing is that, you know, rolling admissions is a big part of things that sometimes people who don't understand this look at the deadlines for law schools and say, oh, my applications aren't due till February or March. I'll take the LSAT in January. That's not how things work. In the US, law schools operate on rolling admissions, which means there's an advantage to applying earlier. Not necessarily literally the first day of the cycle, but certainly prospects are better applying in September, October, November than they are applying December, January, February.
Is there ever a disadvantage to applying early? I mean, I agree with you, but can you conceive of a disadvantage to applying early?
All other factors being the same, no. If you have the same LSAT score as you'd have later, if you have the same grades as you'd have later, the same application materials as you'd have later, you apply every time, you're going to get better results applying earlier.
Okay, interesting. Now, maybe I'll ask you one more question for today, then we'll pick this up in our next podcast. But since we, you know, since we're on this whole LSAT topic a little bit, I mean, do you have any thoughts on what's good or what's bad LSAT prep or in between?
Yes.
I do.
What do you mean by that exactly?
Oh, you know, if somebody came in to you and said, hey, give me some advice on how I should go about preparing for the test, what would you say, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Well, I think you have to know how you learn best. If you generally struggle with standardized tests, you're someone who should consider working with a tutor. If you're generally someone who does amazing on standardized tests, you probably don't need a class and would be great with some online, a digital intuitive app or something along those lines. If you're someone who you know you're not super disciplined, you might need a class to actually log into at a certain time to make yourself do it. So I think that's the number one thing I would have someone do is be introspective about how they learn best and their own accountability toward themselves. Then you look at budget. You know, how much do I have to spend on LSAT prep? Because you can prep for the LSAT on $200, perfectly fine, or you can spend $5,000, perfectly fine. So it's really about making good choices for you and what your threshold is. So those are two factors I would really consider when choosing how to begin your LSAT study.
Okay. And of course, I think a huge component of this is not only being prepared, but feeling that you're prepared also. Would you agree?
I think that goes into anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Very, very interesting. All right. And let's say somebody that person graduating from high school asked you one final question for the day and said, do you think it's a good idea for me to want to go to law school?
I could spend more than an end of podcast answer on that. But I think that whatever you choose to do, you should explore. I think it's about what's right for you. It's about financially what you can do. It's about what you want to do with your life and how you see your life playing out. I mean, it's such a personal decision. I would never tell someone you should or you shouldn't go to law school. I would simply give them the tools to figure out if it's what they want to do, if it makes sense in their life.
Or how about what are you interested in? And if you think that you can find a way to transfer that interest into law, then maybe it's a good idea.
I think that's pretty general because I think you could transfer almost anything into law. But generally, I don't really catch people at that moment when they're still in high school. I think most people that I work with are still having this conversation with themselves while they're in college or even after, and they're already in another career and they're deciding whether to pursue law as their next career. And I think that at that point, you have the perspective to know you could be doing other things. What does life look like doing those other things? And would you prefer to be practicing law or using your law degree in some capacity? And I think that's really the choice that it comes down to. I think there are lots of ways people could be happy and see their lives playing out. And it's just a choice like any other.
Well, actually, Anne, I think there's an awful lot of practicing lawyers who are having that conversation with themselves as well.
And doctors. I have a lot of friends who are doctors who wish they'd never gone into medicine. I think this is just humanity. We all question our choices. But that's why I want people to question it before they go into it. So they at least know what they're doing, what they're getting themselves into, and not making a decision that they'll later think was naive. I mean, I generally believe you go into something with open eyes, you're less likely to have regrets.
Absolutely. All right. Well, this has been great. And we will pick this up next time, talking about perhaps the components of the application file and all that good stuff. So thanks very much for joining me today. And could you tell people how they can get in contact with you briefly if they wish to?
Of course. Thank you. Anne Levine. My website is lawschoolexpert.com. And at Facebook, you can find me at Anne Levine.
All right. Well, that's great. Till next time, then. Thank you so much, Anne.
Thank you.